You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. In January 2016, then-State Attorney General Bill Schuette announced he would investigate the Flint water crisis. Ultimately, criminal charges were brought against 15 current or former state and city officials, charges ranging from felonies to misdemeanors. Wayne State University law professor Noah Hall is an expert on environmental and water law, and he's been part of the investigation, serving as Special Assistant Attorney General. Well, now Bill Schuette is no longer the AG. Democrat Dana Nessel is in charge, and Noah Hall wants to talk about these past 3 years. What's worked, what hasn't, and why. Noah Hall, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Before we get into details, just give me your short answer on how you think the investigation has gone after 3 years. How would you characterize it?
It's been frustrating. First of all, let's start with the reality that a lot of folks in Flint still don't have clean water while this investigation has been going on. And so as frustrating as it is that the investigation is taking several years and legal accountability is going to take even more, there's a tremendous weight looming over all of that, which is while we're continuing to fight for the citizens of Flint and trying to hold government officials accountable, a lot of folks in Flint are still struggling every day to meet their life needs with basic clean water.
So as of last week, you no longer report to Bill Schuette, and now you feel you're able to speak about the Flint investigation in a way that you could not have up until now, both the criminal and the civil sides. Why is that?
Well, to be very clear, working with Bill Schuette, I always found him to have tremendous integrity the highest of legal ethics. He made the decision early on when he announced his Flint water crisis investigation that he was going to take the unusual step of directly involving himself in this investigation and in the work of the special counsel. Now, what's very unusual about this is that the Attorney General for the state of Michigan has a constitutional duty to defend the state and its officers, including the governor and the agency officials. So the Attorney General is constitutionally obligated to defend the state, but the Attorney General, Bill Schuette, wanted to be involved in the investigation of the governor's administration and other wrongdoing by state officials. This created at least the appearance of a conflict, and it came to a head about 2 years ago when we filed some papers in a federal court, and a federal judge made very clear that as long as Bill Schuette individually was involved in the special counsel's civil litigation work, we could not take positions against the state of Michigan. Now that Bill Schuette is no longer in office and Dana Nessel is the attorney general, Dana Nessel has not had any interference or communication with my civil litigation work, and my assumption is that she's allowing the civil litigation to continue. I intend to wrap up the work shortly and provide a complete report and accounting to the public of what happened, why it happened, and most importantly, how we can fix state government so that what happened in Flint will not happen over and over again.
Okay, let's start, if we can, with the criminal charges. 3 years, 15 people charged, including Health and Human Services Director Nick Lyon and Dr. Eden Wells, the state's medical executive. In fact, preliminary hearings are scheduled to continue today. No one has gone to trial, much less no convictions. So you've got two Michigan Department of Environmental Quality officials have pleaded no contest to misdemeanors, and they're agreeing to testify against other officials in their criminal cases. So there we are. What are you satisfied with, Noah, in terms of who has been charged criminally and what those charges are?
Well, without speaking to the culpability of any of the individual defendants, all of whom have constitutional rights, I will say that I feel very solid about charging the officials that we did. Subsequent civil litigation, including a recent decision just last week out of the Federal Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit, looked at a lot of the same facts, many of the same documents, emails, pieces of evidence about the wrongdoing committed by these officials, and reached very strong conclusions that what went on in Flint was not a mistake. It was not an accident, and it was not the result of somebody being negligent on the job. Instead, what happened in Flint was the direct, predictable, intended result of unconscionable actions by state officials to disregard the law, disregard physical evidence of harm to individuals, and then lie and cover up what they did.
And this is, as you say, the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals says this.
Right. Now, this is in the context of civil litigation,
yes,
and
yes.
These defendants are very much entitled to their day in court on criminal charges. But to be clear, these are not folks just doing their job. These were folks who took affirmative actions that resulted in tremendous harm and even loss of life in Flint. Now, the frustrating reality is that of those 15 officials charged, I think it's fair to say that all of them are the types of officials who are involved in carrying out orders and decisions for the Flint water crisis, covering up wrongdoing, sometimes lying and falsifying documents to cover up the wrongdoing. But these officials don't seem to be the power brokers, the real decision makers, the folks who not just put lives at risk at Flint, but benefited from those decisions. And what's frustrating both for the lawyers involved and certainly for the people in Flint is that for the 15 officials that we have charged, we know that there's a lot of other folks in government much higher up who were involved in the Flint water crisis, and the public wants to see them held accountable.
Yeah. So before we dig into that, I want to ask you about the civil investigation, which you've been very involved with. What is it you were looking to find out and the questions you wanted to answer for the people of Flint?
Well, when we began the civil investigation, at first we just wanted to find out what happened. It turns out what happened in Flint is actually fairly straightforward. The work here at Michigan Radio by other journalists and as well as the Flint Water Task Force very clearly laid that out early in 2016. We know what happened in Flint. What I wanted to learn with my civil investigation is how could this happen? How could it go on for 2 years? And what are we going to do to fix the structural problems that allowed this to happen? What happened in Flint was not a one-time mistake or even the result of specific actions by the officials, many of whom we've charged criminally. But what happened in Flint was the result of a systematic breakdown of our environmental laws, a failure of environmental protection in state government, and a loss of accountability to the public at all levels of government that we need to fix. The more we looked at what happened in Flint, the more we realized that it wasn't about lead or pipes or even water. It's about broken government.
If you've just joined us, we're speaking with Noah Hall, Wayne State University law professor, who's been serving on the Flint water investigation as Special Assistant Attorney General. So here's, I think, the question on so many minds. Why is it we still don't know, Noah, why there was such a hell-bent rush to get the Karenandi Water Authority going, to issue an administrative consent that let the city of Flint, which was already drowning in debt and under state emergency management, to issue bonds for this new KWA pipeline? Because wasn't that whole hell-bent rush to clear the path of the KWA, didn't that lead to all the awful decisions that we're very familiar with, using Flint River water, not treating it and running the untreated water through the Flint water treatment plant when it was by no means ready to do that? Why have we heard so little about the KWA and the new pipeline?
That's a great question. You're exactly right on the importance of the KWA pipeline. And the underlying financing for it in what led to the Flint water crisis. To be very blunt, the approval of those bonds and the issuance of those bonds for that KWA pipeline is loaded with fraud. And the frauds were committed by not just the attorneys working on behalf of the project. These are, private corporate bond attorneys. But state officials at the Department of Environmental Quality, who issued an improper administrative consent order, and frankly, by the Attorney General's office itself. The Attorney General's office signed off on the administrative consent order, which allowed the underlying fraud to occur. The way I look at it now is that given that the Attorney General's office signed off on the administrative consent order, it made investigating the circumstances of that administrative consent order and its approval very difficult and challenging under the previous administration. Now I think we're free to go and investigate all aspects of wrongdoing in all branches of state government, including the signing of that administrative consent order by the Attorney General's office. And I appreciate that Attorney General Nessel is not attempting to interfere with our investigation of, I won't even say necessarily wrongdoing, but flaws in the process.
But you use the word fraud.
Yeah. Well, and that's because, to be very straightforward, the state of Michigan committed a fraud in indebting the city of Flint for bonds for a project that it was never going to see. Folks in Flint are going to be paying debt on bonds that an emergency manager saddled them with, thanks to the involvement of the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality and the State Attorney General's office. We need to get to the bottom of this. We need to see how this happened. We need to see why the Attorney General's office did not provide independent oversight of the Department of Environmental Quality in issuing the administrative consent order. And we need to ensure that far better accountability is put in place in the future, so that this type of fraud doesn't happen again.
And you talked earlier, as you're saying, you know, we've got these 15 officials, but we don't know who the power brokers are, which leads me to ask, as you've been investigating and digging, who do you think are the power brokers who were so, you know, hitting the accelerator pedal to get a KWA? You know, the people in Flint weren't asking for it.
No. You know, the KWA had been bouncing around as an idea since about 2008, 2009, and really didn't get any traction in Lansing. It was essentially a pipeline without customers, without money. Nobody needed it and nobody wanted it. And then come 2013, 2014, all of a sudden the Snyder administration was very interested in moving the KWA pipeline forward.
Do we know why?
Well, here's what I can say. The KWA pipeline doesn't really benefit many folks. Nobody in Flint needs it. They already had a pipeline working just fine, bringing Lake Huron water to the city of Flint. We don't really know who the KWA pipeline helps, but we know who it hurts. The construction of the KWA pipeline and moving Flint to KWA pushed the Detroit Water Sewer District further into bankruptcy and all but sealed its fate in terms of financial solubility moving forward. By pulling Flint off of DWSD, Governor Snyder ensured that DWSD as a unit was going to fall apart, and it led, of course, to the restructuring and the reallocation of decision-making to the new Great Lakes Water Authority. It's a convoluted tale, but in a way it's pretty straightforward and simple. Folks in the United States, going back to Hamilton and Burr, have known that if you control the water, you control development, and then you control the economy. There's been ongoing fights in Michigan over control of regional water authorities and the resulting power you'd have for economic development. Unfortunately, the folks in Flint got caught right in the middle of the fight and were poisoned as a result.
Even as Bill Schuette campaigned for governor by pointing out his work in the Flint water investigation, people in Flint, Noah, were really quick to go, hey, hold on. We went to the attorney general in 2015. We were complaining of bad water, complaining of health problems, and nothing was done. Are those fair criticisms?
Those are very fair criticisms. And again, it's another reason that I'm optimistic starting this week and starting this year that we'll be able to complete our civil investigation. To be very clear, the wrongdoing that led to Flint occurred in all aspects of state government. The lead is on everyone's hands. The Attorney General's office ignored complaints about unsafe water in Flint, not just for 1 year, but really two or three. And more fundamentally, these weren't just citizen complaints. The Attorney General's office has independent constitutional authority to uphold the environmental laws of the state of Michigan. If the Department of Environmental Quality is the one breaking those laws, then it's more important than ever for the Attorney General to act independently and oversee the Department of Environmental Quality and initiate enforcement actions. None of that occurred. What the citizens desperately need right now as a first step is an objective, independent report about all of the failings in all aspects of state government. No more finger pointing, not one department saying it was another department's job, or the Attorney General saying it was the governor's job, or the state saying it was the federal government's job. We need one report that shows the systematic failings, and more importantly, how are we going to fix this so that the next time a citizen is drinking, has concerns about her water, or more more frighteningly, the water that she's giving to her children, there's a number she can call with somebody who's going to respond to that complaint, investigate it, and ensure that ultimately the public health is protected. What we saw in Flint were hundreds of citizen complaints to the Attorney General's office and the US EPA about wrongdoing at the Department of Environmental Quality, and they were all ignored. We need a far better solution.
Noah, why has this investigation taken so long?
Investigating an administration while that administration holds many of the levers of power in state government is one of the more challenging things I've done as a lawyer.
And we reached out to a representative for former Attorney General Bill Schuette, offering him a chance to comment. We did not immediately hear back. Tomorrow, part two of our conversation with Noah Hall. We'll hear how Michigan's new Attorney General and new Democratic control of the House of Representatives could be game changers for this investigation. Plus, Hall will share his recommendations to ensure that a water crisis like Flint's never happens again in Michigan.
One of the very frightening lessons we've learned from the Flint water investigation is that what happened in Flint can happen anywhere, and in fact is happening in many other places.